Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Not great, Bob.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, September 15, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 604 of the Biden-Harris administration, 53 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram, the Bob Seska, Twitter, Bob Seska underscore go on our Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com. Lots to talk about today, so let's bring in the Goth Ninja. Jody Hamilton, Spicy Jody, from the From the Bunker podcast, patreon.com/from the bunker. Also, David Ferguson, we call him T-Rex. He's got a music project. It's called Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com to download all of his stuff. All right, we have some huge news today along those lines. David, you've got a big announcement to make about, oh my God, the Cannes Film Festival. Is that right?
Yeah. It's what? Crazy. Okay, so we put out a song like a year ago called Lucia Love Yourself.
Yes.
And a friend of mine who is a filmmaker really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Ellie Maven. And she made a short film, an animated film, that featured the quilting patterns of another friend named Sarah Hubbard.
Okay.
And she made like a little film. And entered it into Cannes, not really thinking that it was going to do anything. And now it's in like the finals for like a monthly jury, and then the winner from that jury goes on to the festival at the end of the year.
Oh my God!
So,
yeah, this is the song.
Awesome.
Yes, we debuted this song here on the show. When was it? When did you write this song and send it over to me?
It was last summer, but now it's on Apple Music and Spotify. If you want to get it, Astral Summer, Lucia, Love Yourself. Let's listen to it.
Yes.
Hey, Lucia.
That's really good.
I know your heart is like a hurricane, but today, Lucia.
Yeah, this is a newly mastered version, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've remastered it just to make it a little clearer.
Oh, so
I'm going to put up the film at some point, like on our Apple Music and Spotify under videos, but I got to find out what the contest rules are. Like, I'm not sure if I'm allowed right now while it's being juried to, I got to find out. It's like Trump's couldn't show us his taxes because they were under investigation.
All right.
Let's hear the chorus some more.
Yeah.
Turn it up.
Lucia. Not like anybody else.
Yeah.
Oh, Lucia.
Wow, man, that rhythm, that drum line you got, that loop is amazing.
Yeah.
And excellent vocals.
Initially it was much slower and much barer on the beat, and I threw in that dance beat, and I was like, man, this pumps. And I kind of cautiously approached my guitar player, like, Dave,
yeah,
do you mind if it sounds like this? He's like, no, that's great.
Yeah, your guitar player's Dave Martin, is that his name?
Yep.
Okay.
Dave F. Martin.
And I love the guitar part, too. All right. Excellent. Well, congratulations. We're all, we've got our fingers crossed.
Yeah, everybody
for
cross
you
your and fingers and think of me like on the red carpet at fucking Cannes.
And if you happen to be on the Cannes jury, make sure to vote for this short animation, right?
Yeah,
we're going to rig the game for you is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We'll get some fake electors. I'll start screaming about, Joe Biden.
Stolen
election. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. There we go.
All right. We'll have an insurrection if things don't go your way. I think that's
a great
idea.
Just go there and refuse to leave.
Perfect. All right. So lots of shit happening here today, as it usually does. The fire hose of news working overtime. Both Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis are using human beings as props, to own the libs. They have sent migrants up to both Kamala Harris's house in Washington, D.C., and then also to Martha's Vineyard, where the Obamas have a house.
Well, apparently, though, Martha's Vineyard is having a labor shortage, so they've just shipped them a
bunch
of people
yay!
To work.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the thing. The Republicans were hoping, and certainly Abbott and DeSantis were hoping, that we would all be owned because of this, that we would all be freaking out and screaming at them and pulling attention away from the fact that, 10-year-olds are being raped and forced to birth their attackers' children, things like that. But instead, what's happening is, out of the goodness of the hearts of the people in these areas, these migrants are being taken in and fed and clothed and housed. And so that's all, I think, a positive outcome, despite the fact that they were coerced. I think they were lied to.
Like human chess pieces. Yeah. Like, we're going to just dump these people in your yard and you can handle it. And we don't care about their lives or feelings or destinies or whatever hopes and aspirations they had coming here. Yeah. We're just going to treat them as human garbage and dump them in your yard like you've been like letting your dog shit in the yard. Like, it's just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
These guys are, they're such arrogant, elitist pigs.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, they're racists as well. They have no compunction whatsoever about just throwing aside any sort of actual, legitimate, respectable political leadership and replacing it with just kind of comment section trolling. That's the entire Republican Party now. It's guided by not
we
policy.
All get on buses. Like everybody, Stephanie, like everybody, just get on buses and go to the Texas governor's mansion and just like plop down on the front step and be like, what are you going to do?
Right. Between 75 and 100 people were picked up in Eagle Pass, Texas, sent by Greg Abbott. The group includes migrants from Venezuela, Uruguay, Colombia, and Mexico.
How did they get them all together? Were they waiting in? How did?
They were probably reporting where like they were supposed to.
Yeah.
You know.
And so they forced them to get on these trains and buses and airplanes.
Well, they made them sign affidavits that they probably couldn't read, because they're not in Spanish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were made promises. They were made promises that they would be entered into the system once they arrived at their destination. And that was never the intention or purpose. But you know what? It could actually end up being the outcome. Because we, the left, tends to have empathy for people. Mm-hmm. We tend to help people who are disadvantaged in some way, oppressed in some way, used, exploited, etc. in some way. While the Republicans, they just don't give a flying fuck about any of that. All they want to do is own the libs. All they want to do is troll. Always be trolling. That is the Republican way now. It's no longer about leadership. It's no longer about policy. It's all about owning the libs. We've been saying this for years now.
Apparently DeSantis, according to some reporting, someone ID'd as Perla lured them onto the plane by telling them they were going to be going to Boston for expedited work papers.
Yeah, there it is. Exactly. So of course they load up. And
that's against the law. I mean, that's human trafficking.
It's
against the law. It's fraud. There's all sorts of laws that have been broken here, at least on DeSantis's part. And most likely on Greg Abbott's part as well.
This state
Beto O'Rourke is ready. He's probably stockpiling lawyers right now. Just like, line on the left, one cross each. Like, come on, lawyers.
Let's go. Yeah. And again, we're talking about federal laws. If this is a matter of some form of law breaking requiring a prosecution or prosecutions, We're talking about federal laws here. We're talking about crossing state lines. And that is absolutely in the purview of the Department of Justice, as though the Department of Justice doesn't have enough to do right now. Add this to the list. Rhode Island State Representative Michelle McGaw tweeted this earlier today. She said, human trafficking is defined in the UN Trafficking in Persons Protocol as, quote, the recruitment, transport, transfer, harboring, or receipt of persons by such means as threat or use of force or other forms of coercion, abduction, fraud, or deception for the purpose of exploitation. And that sounds exactly like what's happened here. These are people who have been dehumanized by Republicans. Yeah. This is utterly dehumanizing. They might as well have loaded them up into rail cars and sprayed hoses through the tiny openings in the car as they're transported off to some other destination that they were lied to about. These aren't people. These aren't human beings. These are nothing but, you know,
props
that we can move around a game board. Because you know what? We're fucked right now because we banned abortion. And so what we have to do is we have to scare the fuck out of our base by emphasizing this alleged border crisis, which they're doing in such a bizarre way. You've got a combination of human trafficking and exploitation, as we've seen illustrated today. And then you add that on top of this entire series of ridiculous tweets that I've been talking about forever, where they're talking about, record numbers of people on the terrorist watch list have been stopped at the border. Record amounts of meth have been stopped at the border. Record amounts of fentanyl have been stopped at the border. Why is there such a Joe Biden border crisis?
I'm like, you mad about this?
What are you mad about?
It makes
keeping your damn fentanyl away from you, bitch. Like, I mean, God,
it makes no sense whatsoever. We do have a meth problem. We do have a fentanyl problem, and it's contributing a great deal to the homelessness issue. And that's a conversation for another day. However, the argument can't be that Joe Biden is stopping record amounts of fentanyl at the border, record amounts of meth at the border, and that simultaneously there's this colossal border crisis. Open borders. They're painting this fantasy as though there is no border patrol. There is no wall. There is no customs. There's nothing happening at the border. It's just wide open. Anyone can walk in from any point. No problem. And that's scaring the shit out of the rubes who think that it's nothing but a bloodbath down there, who watch way too much television, who think that there are severed heads on every lawn from Southern California to Eastern Texas. Which is absolutely not the case. God damn it.
So, oh, Arizona. It's a dry hate.
Greg Abbott's been doing this prior to today, just sending random migrants all around the country because neener, we got to own the libs. Oh, you've been owned.
Yeah.
It's like kindergarten politics.
At least you let the families stay together, though. You know, I mean, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. God. and then meantime, as we've been saying, the Joe Biden record at the border has been absolutely successful, at least compared to Donald Trump's record at the border. And that's not me saying it. That's a whole bunch of Republicans, including Chuck Grassley and Ronna McDaniel and the GOP account and on down the line, Elise Stefanik and all the rest of them, Kevin McCarthy. I could do this all goddamn day.
Yep.
Meantime, I don't know if you guys heard about Letitia James and how she might sue one, possibly one, maybe more of Trump's children.
Yay.
In this investigation of the Trump Organization. Ivanka, Eric, and Donald Trump Jr. have all been senior executives.
My name's Eric.
Did you notice that Eric Trump was with his dad at the Sterling, Virginia golf course over the weekend? The mysterious.
I did not notice that. I couldn't quite see.
Was he like stuck to his heel like a piece of toilet paper or something?
He was there with all of those other douchebags who were probably there to, either set up some sort of golf tournament or possibly buy the Sterling, Virginia location. Because Donald Trump doesn't have any cash. He doesn't have any money.
And he's got broke. All those loans coming due any minute.
Yes, plus all kinds of legal bills stacking up. This search and seizure at Mar-a-Lago involving the Espionage Act is something that the RNC is not going to help him with. And then if Donald Trump decides to run, which he won't, he's not going to have access to Save America PAC anymore. So he's going to need the money one way or another, whether he runs or not. Yep. Did you guys notice Hugh Hewitt had a gigantic scoop today? We're going to get back to this Letitia James story in a second. Hugh Hewitt had a huge scoop. I couldn't believe it. I was like, how the hell did he drag this out of Donald Trump? He was tweeting about it all morning saying, oh, my God, I did an interview with Donald Trump and you wouldn't believe it. Here's what he said. He said that the documents were declassified and that he had nothing to do with stealing.
All declassified.
I was like, what the hell? That's not a... What are you talking about? He said this five times a day since August 8 on Truth Central.
Truth Central.
Yeah. I mean, this is not news. What are you talking about? Well, congratulations on your giant scoop, Hugh Hewitt. You did what, you know, a million other people can do every goddamn day by looking at Truth Central.
Truth Central.
Yes. So,
I mean,
good
job. Look at Hugh Hewitt, though. I mean, he really is, like, he's one of the main benefits of right-wing affirmative action. I mean, because the man has got fewer ideas than a tepid bowl of potato salad. I mean, he just is dumb.
Yeah.
Just stupid, shit stupid. And so, like, and maybe he did think that by a slight reframing of the same thing that Donald Trump has been saying for 5 weeks, it was a scoop. But, I mean, he is literally that stupid.
And remember, he was the moderator of that one Republican debate where he was asking Donald Trump about nuclear. Mm-hmm. And he said, he asked Donald Trump, or I'm saying nuclear because that's what Donald Trump says. Right. It's always about it's about the nuclear. I had documents about the nuclear. And he asked about the nuclear triad, and Donald Trump could not describe what the nuclear triad was. And this was before he was president, but he was running for president and probably should have known what the nuclear triad was. So instead,
At least he doesn't say nuclear. That just, oh, God. Drives me insane.
Yeah, no. I don't think he said nuclear. I can't even say it the wrong way. Nuclear?
It's difficult to say nuclear, yeah. It's
here's Donald Trump trying to describe the nuclear triad. I believe this is the Hugh Hewitt clip.
Of the three legs of the triad, though, do you have a priority? Because I want to go to Senator Rubio after that.
Nuclear is just the power, the devastation is very important to me.
Okay, thank you for that. Was an accurate description of the
Donald,
nuclear triad. Good job. So, Letitia James might sue one of Trump's children in the process of prosecuting in this civil suit the Trump Organization. The likelihood of a lawsuit grew this month after Ms. James's office rejected at least one settlement offer from Mr. Trump's lawyers, while the Trump Organization for months has made overtures to the Attorney General's office, and the two sides could still reach a deal. There is no indication that a settlement will materialize anytime soon. If the case goes to trial and Mr. Trump loses, a judge could impose financial penalties and restrict the former president's business operations in New York, all potentially in the midst of a 2024 presidential campaign that he is expected to join. I don't expect him to join it. That's just the New York Times saying that.
I stand by my assertion that he is as likely to run and win for president in 2024 as I am to suck Joe Rogan's tiny penis.
Oh, my God.
Ew, David.
Yes.
Yeah, but no, I mean, just we know that he's keeping the question open because it's one of his last effective scams to keep the money coming in.
Yep.
And people, I saw people trying to be like, what is he doing? Why is he embracing the QAnon thing all of a sudden? Because he's got all this QAnon shit popping up on Truth Central. You know, he's doing that because they're the last rubes. He's wringing out the last drops of juice from the fucking milkable idiot moron hordes, and he's thinking that maybe if he riles up the Q people enough, they'll do something crazy and stupid and hurt somebody, and that people will back off of him.
Right.
Like he's, you know, like, and the same thing Steve Bannon's doing.
Yes.
Bannon, you know.
Stephen K. Bannon and Brian Kolfine.
Thank you.
I watched Bannon's perp walk with his fat, red, bloated face when he's like, if they're going to stop me, they're going to have to kill me. I didn't realize he was actually like yelling that as they dragged him into the courtroom.
Yeah, and did
I
you hear
that
the whistle?
Was something he said before he...
Yeah.
No, he was indoors.
Oh, he was indoors. Okay, because right outside
maybe
the courtroom...
Maybe he said the same thing twice.
Yeah, whistle lady is still positioned outside the courtroom to obstruct anything that Bannon has to say and make it unusable for the news. I love that. Oh, by the way, also, this New York Times piece says that Trump and Letitia James came face-to-face last month when Mr. Trump declined to answer her questions under oath in the course of a four-hour court-ordered deposition. Trump invoked his Fifth Amendment rights more than 400 times during the session, breaking his silence only to attack Ms. James as a, quote, renegade prosecutor who he said is leading a witch hunt against him. He's also referred to her as racist, by the way, because words don't have meaning anymore. His decision to stay silent may have handed the attorney general some additional leverage in civil cases. Refusing to answer questions can, in some instances, be held against defendants at trial. And that brings us to Eric Trump, David.
I
lost my bag of Cheerios.
Thank you. Okay, that's what I was waiting for. Eric Trump, who ran the company when Mr. Trump was in the White House, also invoked his Fifth Amendment rights more than 500 times in a 2020 deposition with Ms. James's office. When Donald Trump Jr. and Ivanka were interviewed in hours-long sessions under oath this summer, they responded to questions. There is no indication that they played a role in setting the value of Mr. Trump's assets, but they were senior officers in the company for many years. So that points to possibly Eric Trump being the leading candidate for a separate lawsuit or a related lawsuit next to or side by side with this civil suit against the Trump Organization. By the way, about a possible corporate...
That's what we get? Fredo? Really?
Maybe. No. I mean, this was never going to be about Trump or his kids personally being sued. This is always about suing the Trump Organization. And what I have been forecasting as the possibility of the Trump Organization being dissolved, just like the Trump Foundation was dissolved by the previous New York Attorney General. And about that corporate death penalty, I was not happy to see this. Letitia James said, quoted by the New York Times, I don't want to go that far. And she's talking about the corporate death penalty, eliminating the Trump Organization as a corporation. All she wanted to do, she added, was to ensure Mr. Trump and his company understood that they could not use fraudulent valuations in the future. Quote, he needs to be held accountable, she said, him and his corporation. So I don't know. That seems to indicate that maybe the Trump Organization doesn't get shut down out of this civil suit, which would be awful.
If it collapses completely, you can't keep getting the money they owe you.
Yeah, that is also that's also very true. But it seems
she
like
might
this
have
is
an interest in it staying afloat just long enough to pay their fines.
Yeah,
you know,
it seems like this would be a huge case for the Internal Revenue Service. Because we're talking about tax fraud here. And it seems like, oh my God, if you put down the wrong number on your tax form, you could be red flagged for an audit, which is never fun, no matter what the outcome ends up being, good or bad. It's obviously far worse if it's a bad outcome. But here, Donald Trump's lying on all of these documents, getting Alan Weisselberg to help him out, maybe getting Eric Trump to help him out, too, as well as other people, lying about the assets of the Trump Organization on tax forms, lying about the Trump Organization assets on insurance applications and loan applications, et cetera. That's all kinds of fucking fraud.
And doesn't Donald sign agreements where he is personally responsible, not just the company, which you hopefully never have to do. But I mean, a lot of people, when you take out a loan initially, if it's a new business, you have to sign it as you're personally, not just the company, but you are personally responsible for whatever money is owed.
Yeah.
And I think he did that with a lot of his loans, which is why he's up Schitt's Creek coming soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know this.
If that
doesn't
work out, there's always Atlanta and Fulton County.
Yeah, that is true. Well, there are many, many. I think I counted something like 20 different cases, including individual lawsuits against Trump. I wrote up a piece for the Banter newsletter, thebanter.substack.com, that has it's like a comprehensive list of all the legal problems for Donald Trump, all of the prosecutions, all of the lawsuits, all the civil cases, and so on. But in this case, I don't understand how this is not a more serious crime, committing fraud at this level around his business. I mean, when I had to shut down my animation studio, I was personally responsible for all the debt and taxes and so on from that studio. So I don't know how there's a separation here when it comes to the Trump Organization. I don't claim to know or understand New York state law when it comes to this sort of thing. I don't claim to know or understand IRS regulations when it comes to these sorts of things. But it seems like this is ripe for the IRS to go dancing on Donald Trump's head.
Yep.
Maybe it's happening and we just don't know about it yet. But it seems like that would be something that would eventually leak with the avalanche of other things. I don't know. But in the meantime, we've got newly unredacted sections of the search and seizure affidavit. And part of it, Trump probably lied to his lawyers about the existence of more documents. We've been talking about that since it happened, since we learned that one of his lawyers, maybe Christina Bob, who signed off on that document with the FBI saying that, there were no more documents at Mar-a-Lago, and it turned out there were. But now it seems as though, according to these newly unredacted sections, that Trump's lawyers were told by Trump that there were no other documents at Mar-a-Lago, even though there were. So Trump's lawyer told the Department of Justice and the FBI, quote unquote, he was advised that all White House records were in Mar-a-Lago's storage room, and quote, he was not advised any records were in any private office space. Remember, some documents were found in the closet in Trump's office. Some documents were found in Trump's desk. None of that was disclosed to the FBI prior to August 8th when they found them there. That most likely points to being advised by his client, Donald Trump. David Laufman, the former chief of DOJ's counterintelligence section, also said that Trump had likely fed his attorneys false information. Quote, I think it's more likely than not that he lied to them knowing that they were going to transmit those lies to the government, he said on MSNBC. I think it was last night. Other unredacted sections reveal one piece that is new to the search warrants affidavit is that 5 of the documents were marked confidential, 16 marked secret, and 17 marked top secret. Right. According to Individual 2, who's a National Archives representative for Trump, quote, when producing the documents, neither F. POTUS Council 1, and I keep forgetting to use the acronym F. POTUS to describe Donald Trump.
I think people are calling him TOTUS now, traitor of the United States.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I just like, you know.
Toast of the United States.
I just like that F part of the acronym. POTUS. F. POTUS. Yeah. F. POTUS Council 1 or Individual 2 asserted that F. POTUS had declassified the documents. All right, so his lawyers or whoever Individual 2 is didn't know that or weren't told that F. POTUS, Trump, had claimed to have declassified the documents with his magic wand. The documents being in a red weld envelope wrapped in tape appears to be consistent with an effort to handle the documents as if they were still classified. So, you know, again, it goes back to the ongoing observation, which is that if these documents really were declassified, no one else was told that those documents were declassified by Trump.
Not what the folders said.
Nope. Yeah, and you would
I'm
at least
about
expect
the empty folders. But
empty folders. That's the problem.
I'm hoping
it's kind of like me when I had CDs.
Yeah,
you know that
you
it's
forgot
just
to put
like,
them in there. Right.
Yeah, they just got separated. But I have
no. He either gave them. He's given them away to somebody or sold them.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, there's a file that was dropped in the Judge Cannon situation with the special master lawsuit last week, and the DOJ said those documents were either lost or compromised.
Yeah.
And I've been surveying everybody to determine which is worse, lost or compromised. I don't know. I think maybe you'll end up landing at lost, but they're both pretty bad.
And most likely they know what's missing because they're not just one version of it.
Yeah.
Whether it's the NSA, FBI, CIA, whatever, they all have their own copies as well.
Yes. Yeah.
So they know what's missing.
Exactly. But he was saying to Hugh Hewitt that there will be ramifications the likes of which we have never seen in this country if he's prosecuted, if he's indicted.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of things about that, which he's done before. Once again, Hugh Hewitt had no great scoop here. He was Hugh Hewitt just getting Trump to repeat the same shit that he said a gazillion times on
Truth Central.
A couple of things that Trump was doing. One, he was giving tacit permission to his fanboys to raise hell if he is indicted. So that was like, stand back and stand by.
Yep.
If I'm indicted, make sure you riot. Make sure there are insurrections. Make sure there's an attempted jailbreak. Whatever it takes to stir up chaos, because I love chaos. That's basically what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is about that threat is, I believe, and this speaks directly to, this is why I'm bringing it up, speaks directly to the 43 folders. I think Trump's got a suicide switch. I think he's got a dead man switch ready to roll.
You're right.
That if he is prosecuted, someone, maybe Rudy Giuliani, maybe one of his kids, maybe some operative linked to Steve Bannon and Brian Colfage.
Stephen K. Bannon and Brian Colfage.
Well, they've been arrested, so it can't be those guys. But to dump a bunch of documents into the public or to hand them over to an enemy, whatever it takes to create chaos. But I think he's got that as a coercive, retaliatory insurance policy in case he is prosecuted. I think that's a very realistic possibility that he's got a suicide switch set up.
Well, I mean, just releasing the RNC emails alone.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got them. I know he's got them.
Yes, he's got so much crap. He's got, I'm sure he's got compromise on all kinds of people.
That's
right?
That's what they're worried about. That's why Lindsey Graham's gone even nuttier lately. He's got stuff and they know it.
Right, so we're going to talk about Lindsey Graham and a whole lot more coming up on our big Thursday show. But first, we are so damn close. We are this close. And I'm holding up my finger. I'm making a little pinching gesture. We're this close to 1,300 subscribers on our Patreon page. Yeah, damn close. And maybe you're going to be that 1,300th subscriber. So if you sign up, not only will you be supporting this completely independent podcast, but we're going to give you exclusive bonus content that's only available on our Patreon page, no place else. For example, there's an extra 20 minutes of show after the end credits roll at the end of every Tuesday and Thursday episode. We call that the Shadow Docket Podcast at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow or simply BobSeskaShow.com. That's also where you sign up. It's a completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news. It's only going to cost you pennies per episode. The Shadow Dockets drop every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows. And it's only going to cost you $5 per month. And you're going to be supporting, as I said, this fully independent podcast. Don't miss out. Be subscriber 1300. BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it. Send it to all your friends. And we thank you.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I am waking from this haze, trimmed to forgive.
outfits. It reminds me of the Gin Blossoms.
Yeah, this is the great Seth Adam. We're doing a whole Seth Adam week this week to roll out his brand new album called... Yeah, the new album's called Fits and Starts and Stops. And this is a track from that album. It's called You Ain't Gonna Drag Me Down. SethAdam.com. Get it right now. Yeah. Oh, we love Seth Adam.
I hear this and I think about my old 67 Mustang and how I used to drive around this really hilly, extremely tree-lined, rich neighborhood in my town.
Yeah.
At night with the windows down.
Oh, God, it's one of those songs, man. You know what? This is where rock and roll is really happening in the independent music scene. It's not dead. Seth Adam's keeping it alive and so many others. Oh, man. Love Seth's work. All right. By the way, bobsesca.com/music to submit. What we've started doing is including the full-length songs at the end of the free portion of the show. So bear with us as we monkey around with the format of the show and how we feature these songs, these great independent musicians. Yeah, but I think instead of the Indie Music Countdown once a month, we're just going to stick both of the songs, their full-length songs, at the end of the free portion of the show before we transition over to the Shadow Docket. Okay, so... any theories about what the fuck Lindsey Graham was thinking when he introduced this nationwide abortion ban the other day?
Well, he might be going to jail down in Georgia, so we don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. That's what I was going to say earlier. He's clearly desperate not to testify to the Fulton County grand jury.
Yeah.
And I think, personally, that it's because we're going to find out that he didn't actually beat Jamie Harrison. Because no one is going to be paying attention to that testimony as closely as people inside, like attorneys and federal attorneys and election fraud, you know, people in South Carolina. Because
yeah, yeah.
I just, the way he just so cavalierly said, like, well, why don't you just erase the lead?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seemed to me that this is like something that he was accustomed to.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting when he asks for it. You know, and I just.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's that's just my opinion, but I feel like Lindsey Graham, I mean, he's clearly terrified of something.
Yeah.
And to me, the only thing that really, really terrifies Lindsey Graham more than anything, including being humiliated before the world by licking Donald Trump's boots, is to not be a senator anymore.
Man, I didn't think you were going to say boots.
That is like his – yeah, I know. But I mean – that is his mortal terror.
Yeah,
is to not be a, because I mean that's irrelevance. That is everything. I mean, he has nothing in his life apparently except being Senator Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
So,
well,
that's true.
There used to be a day when if you were in trouble politically, you would run to your right if you're a Republican. So maybe that was Lindsey's play. I don't know. I mean, he's not up for re-election this year.
No.
So why on earth would he derp his way into this ridiculous abortion ban, which, by the way, I hope Chuck Schumer calls a vote on that
too.
Legislation.
Call
like,
that vote.
Every damn day.
Call that vote. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm with you. And Governor Kemp apparently was caught on a hot mic.
Yes.
Saying that he wants
Indeed.
To outlaw birth control.
Let's talk about
God,
Brian
so
Kemp.
He's so disgusting.
You want to hear this?
He's got to go down. I fucking hate him. It's just, and we knew that he cheated his way into office to begin with.
Yeah.
So go on.
Okay, here's Brian Kemp being asked by, I guess, a podcaster or a citizen journalist or someone about whether he would support banning Plan B or other forms of contraception. And check out how non-committal Brian Kemp is on this.
I gotta ask, in my constitution class, we're talking about how like the Dobbs decision went back to the states. During that, can you like ban Plan B?
Can you ban Plan B? This says I'm hearing this audio and it doesn't sound great to me, so we may have to bail out of this. But let's continue.
Since everything's now at the state level, because I mean, now
well, you can you can take up pretty much everything, but you ain't got to be in legislative session to do that.
Is that something
until
you would,
January?
Okay, so Brian Kemp, in response to the question about Plan B, is you can pretty much take up anything.
Yep. That's something you could do. I mean, obviously, after you win and everything.
Just depends on where the legislators are.
It depends on where the legislators are, he said.
But if they're on board, we can do that? Because, I mean, look, you would...
I think. I'd have to check and see. I mean, there's a lot of legalities with all this.
But, I mean, it's like, we got abortion.
I'd have to check and see. There's a lot of legalities involved in that.
God, though, if he was any dumber, you could fucking buy him at the home and garden section at Walmart.
Oh,
you know
my
what I mean?
God.
He's like a talking plant.
Yeah. these ungainly weirdos trying to balance on this tightrope of horseshit when it comes to abortion, where they want to keep the base in line. Like, okay, we've got all of these anti-abortion radicals on one side, and we've got the rest of the fucking country, like 70% of the rest of the country on the other side. You know, just like balancing, almost falling over. It's so bizarre to see these guys who, for some reason, people on the left admire their ability to message, and yet they can't commit to one thing or another because they fucking walked into their own propeller with the Supreme Court and the Dobbs decision. And now they're like, we don't know what to say anymore.
Well, Root Pundit pointed something out. He says, look, and he's absolutely right. He says, there is not an extreme side for being pro-choice. It's just not the extreme position. It's the moderate position. And the extreme position against forced birth is forcing people to abort. Right. That's the other extreme. Mm-hmm. So we're at the moderates.
Nobody wants that. I mean,
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to force anybody to get an abortion any more than reasonably people don't want to force people to have children.
It's a trap that they have set for themselves.
Yep.
I mean, it's amazing they were able to contort themselves into a sexual position in which they were actually able to insert their own dicks into their own bungholes.
Lindsey Graham basically saying that the Democrats want you to be able to abort a baby after it's born.
Yes.
No, that's murder.
Stephen Miller was talking about that on Twitter yesterday. Yeah.
That was even in Roe versus Wade.
No, it's not in Roe. It's just.
I mean, it's the late term abortion is. I mean, I just.
No woman, no person who is pregnant wants to have an abortion after 6 months.
And even
because they want that to go to term, they want that child to be born.
Right.
If they have to terminate the pregnancy, it's because it's a dire need.
Yes.
And no medical staff is going to kill a fucking baby in its crib.
No.
Or allow you
to. No viable. It's just, exactly.
It's against the law, period.
Yeah,
it's murder.
Yes.
And it's just like it doesn't happen.
It's infanticide.
You know how long that's been against the law?
Forever.
Always. It's always been against the law. Roe or not. Casey or not. It has always been against the law. And in particular, both Roe and Casey. I mean, in fact, Casey further established the line of demarcation where you cannot cross that line and have an abortion after a certain point of pregnancy. Unless
by their logic, maybe it's not too late for us to abort Stephen Miller.
Yes. Well, I mean, the only exception was in some sort of medical emergency. That's the only exception established by Roe when it comes to late-term abortion. But the Republicans desperately want all of their stupid fucking sucker voters to believe that Democrats want to have abortions right up to the moments of birth. They're describing it in the most grisly way possible. Donald Trump made all kinds of people like faint practically in describing the fact that Democrats want to be able to let parents birth their children, get them comfortable in a crib, and then murder them in the crib. So Donald Trump described that a gazillion times in his goddamn rallies. This is the myth that's going on.
What you're talking about is palliative care for babies that are going to die anyway.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
God, I was just reading this morning about a woman in Louisiana who found out, you know, halfway through her pregnancy that her baby had acrania, which is a genetic condition. Very rare.
And it's horrible.
Without a skull.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Which means it takes major brain trauma during birth and then dies within minutes or days of birth and probably, you know, agony and terror.
Right.
So, like, and she couldn't get an abortion in her home state of Louisiana because it's illegal there. And after however many weeks, and she had to go all the way to New York State.
Yeah. Yeah.
And pay $40,000 or something in grand total expenses. It's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's just insane.
Yeah.
Well, and in Tennessee, because their abortion ban that went into effect at the beginning of the month, I believe, is a total ban, including if the pregnant person's life is at stake. You can't even abort an ectopic pregnancy at this point.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because are just really livestock, Jody.
I know. Like, we're just vessels. But I was watching a woman on, I forget what MSNBC show it was. She was a doctor from Tennessee. She says, look, I have to talk to lawyers before I do healthcare now, which is, the AMA needs to come down on this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Even when Dobbs was inevitable. I think they still were like, oh, fuck, because they knew that it was political suicide. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're being forced by this unholy, ironically, this unholy alliance with the radical evangelical right that forced them down this road of saying, yeah, you know what, maybe women are, you know, the birthing goo pods from the Matrix. Maybe that's what women really are, and that's what we need to do. That's what we need to legislate, and we need to stack the federal bench with judges who will give us this.
What are they going to do with fertility clinics when they get rid of embryos? Because they do every day.
Still an open question. I don't know where that lands. I think the Indiana law, the trigger law there, just went into effect. What happens to the fertility clinics there?
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that's still being debated. Yes, because they destroy routinely. They destroy embryos all the time.
As soon as there's a successful pregnancy, usually the other embryos are gotten rid of.
That's exactly right. Then we're talking about all kinds of ramifications, too, for medical studies on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And
also, the reason we know that embryos aren't human beings yet is because you can't freeze a human being and bring them back to life.
Right. That is also a thing. But, my God, good luck explaining that to a, you know, a frothing at the mouth maniac, a internet troll on Twitter.
I saw like a tweet that like this person was like put up a picture of an embryo and said, "You cannot tell me that this is a baby." And the pro-life asshole was like, "That is absolutely 100% one of God's children. It's a baby." And she's like, "Actually, it's a porpoise embryo."
Right.
Yes, of course.
It's not a baby at all, and it never will be. It's going to be a dolphin. So,
yeah.
But
yeah,
you can't tell the difference. It's just these people.
Maybe. I know. Every time I bring up the idea of pushing back on the science and the facts of the situation, it's like beating my face up against a wall, because it's almost entirely irrelevant to these unforgivable trolls who all they want is what they want. And it doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter whatever your argument is, you're not going to turn them. They are not going to be convinced. You know, maybe you'll get a couple, and that's always a possibility. Maybe you'll plant a seed in someone's head that will eventually manifest itself into some form of reason and rationality. But the odds of that happening these days are slim, if not none, because everything is so wrapped around teamism at this point.
Right. Right.
Certainly, and that's the driving force on the Republican side. They are firmly locked into this perception of politics as us against them, and whatever they say, we have to do the opposite of that.
No matter how destructive it is to us and others. And that's the part that
so
it's
childish.
Just like...
Yeah.
It is. It's you know, I mean, today Lonnie and I went out to breakfast and I was wearing my mask. He goes, "Well, you're not contagious anymore and you're not going to get it." And I said, "I don't care. I'm being nice to other people."
Yes. Yeah. You know what? I ended up in this whole debate, and I have to apologize to Jen Kirkman, because it was in one of her threads that some fucking idiot with 68 followers ended up talking about COVID and talking about how, you know what, the lockdowns were useless and masking is irrelevant and all the rest of it. And you know what? I've gotten better over the years of not feeding the trolls, but this time I couldn't resist. I had to jump in, and it ended up being half a day of me fighting with this nothing nobody on Twitter, and I regret it. And it was just all about...
I don't have that energy.
I just don't. You know, my general argument was, you know, I'm still masking, not because I'm scared, not because I'm addicted to the pandemic, which is fucking the highest form of horseshit.
I know.
When it comes to discussing COVID, when someone says, "Oh yeah, well you're just addicted. You've got a pandemic addiction. You're just really into the emergency."
No.
Horse
people
shit.
Are still getting sick.
500 people are dying in this country from it still every day.
Yes.
You know? And I mean, Lonnie's like, "I'm a superhuman because I have yet to get it."
Mm-hmm.
And he is.
Yeah.
He's weird. But
me
he
too.
just got his booster 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So I'm very glad that he got that, because as mild as my case was, it lasted a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And I got my bivalent.
I'm worried about long-term. I'm worried about potential long-term effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the thing. And that was the argument that this person was making in Jen Kirkman's thread yesterday, which is that, well, there aren't a whole lot of people dying right now, at least not compared to when the pandemic first started, you know, when there was the lockdown. So I had to make a couple arguments. One, the reason there were so many deaths during the lockdowns was because there were so many people shirking the rules and not doing what they needed to do. And now
no vaccines.
Yeah,
no vaccines.
Exactly.
Yet.
Plus, there are things that are short of death that don't necessarily involve dying, but that are pretty goddamn bad. Long
like
COVID.
Dementia?
Dementia. Long yeah. COVID. Losing your job. Being out of work for a period of time. The financial, issues that arise because of that. Maybe a lack of health care. You end up in some form of medical debt. You know, there are all kinds of things that don't involve death, but which are still fucking bad that we need to be aware of. And to say that the end-all be-all of whether or not you adhere to the protocols still is whether you die, well, that's eliminating a whole lot of other possibilities.
A whole range of adverse consequences.
Exactly fucking right. So that's one of the reasons why this is so frustrating, because you've got an entire population in this country who cannot see nuance, who cannot see the very complicated process of epidemiology and how you mitigate an epidemic or a pandemic.
But it's not that complicated. It's not that fucking complicated. It never was.
It's not.
And if
people had paid attention to the protocols from the very beginning and we had all done what we had needed to do, COVID would be done by now. It would be over.
Yeah.
All right. So that was a little bit of a tangent, and thank you to to the nobody on Twitter who I ended up fighting with and now taking up time on the show about. Okay. So when we come back, oh my God, Mike Lindell's phone was seized by the FBI at a Hardee's.
God bless Hardee's.
And Hardee's fucking Twitter account has been making hay. It's so
funny.
Hilarious.
I know. So
it's
funny.
Just, I'm like, it's like porn.
Yes. And for some reason, Hardee's and Mike Lindell seem to be, there's some sort of Venn diagram overlap there that is funny to me.
It's inherently funny. Just like my pillow guy is funny. Just like when you just turn around and say Fresca and people laugh because Fresca is funny for some reason.
Yes.
There she goes. Like, it, I don't know. It's one of those automatic funny things.
Mike Pillow at Hardee's. Accosted by the FBI. Okay, back with more show right after these words.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Another story for the day, contemporary news. Someone shot their gun again, someone got to choose to take a life not of their own, take somebody's breath. A second for the bullet is a lifetime for the rest. But it's too soon to talk about tomorrow, and it's too soon to talk about today. When they all fall down, folding one by one, blooded guns. From all the damage that's been done, fuck your guns.
Seth Adam, The Blood It Runs is the name of this song. This is obviously about the gun massacres and the firearm crisis in this country. Yeah, gotta listen to this one, the full-length song at the end of the show, because the lyrics are spot-fucking-on. Yeah, this is also from the brand-new Seth Adam album called Fits and Starts and Stops. SethAdam.com, everywhere you get your digital music. BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you for doing that. All right. Mike Pillow's phone was seized by the FBI at a Hardee's restaurant. Here's a marble mouth Mike to, making up shit. This is him talking about how his phone was seized and how he was allegedly ordered not to tell anybody, but that's bullshit. All right, here's Mike.
Today, the FBI, you're going to hear this, and you're probably already hearing it in the news. The FBI came after me and took my phone. They surrounded me at a Hardee's.
Aww.
And took my phone. Aww, I ran all my business, everything went.
Was he in the drive-thru or the dining room? I need to know.
I hope he was in the dining room having, you know, a Hardee's, you know, yeah, Western burger or something.
Well, it seems to work. Like Mike Lindell at, you know, on the continuum of criminality, Mike Lindell is kind of like the Hardee's of crime.
Yes. And no disrespect to Hardee's.
Yeah, no, obviously not.
No, but I got food poisoning from a Hardee's in like 1986.
Really?
Oh, man, it was bad. Jesus Christ. Yeah, so I'm never eating one of those again, and they can fuck off and die. But we know that they're.
Wow. Today's show is brought to you by Hardee's.
Yeah. By Carl's Jr., not Hardee's, because they're the same company.
Right. All right, let's continue.
No, man, that was like a Roman candle at both ends. It was bad. Yeah.
Let's continue with Jesse the Body Ventura here, Mike Lindell.
They could have just, what we've done is weaponize the FBI.
You know what? They got to stop using the word weaponized.
Yeah.
This is an overused fucking word, and it's time that it gets eliminated.
Especially
from,
given Jeffrey Berman's testimony or him saying that that's exactly what they did.
Yes, thank
the
you.
The FBI.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And by the way, Dick Durbin in the United States Senate is going to be investigating the charges brought up by Jeffrey Berman. So that's great fucking news.
Yep.
Yep. Bill Barr's rehabilitation tour is going swimmingly at this point. Good
right,
luck.
Let's finish with Mike because I want to talk about one of the things that he says.
Go. Okay.
It's disgusting. I don't have a computer. Everything I do have that phone. Everything was on there. And
he doesn't have a computer.
That's,
you know, as most millionaires
right here
are, yeah. They don't have a computer.
Everybody, fucking idiot. Everybody, first of all, right now, I don't care if you have an iPhone. I don't care if you have a Galaxy 5 or whatever, 6. Back up your shit.
Yeah.
Right now. Go to your internet cloud. Go to your external hard drive and fucking back up your shit.
Yeah.
Just because if you lose it or it gets stolen or it just in the off chance it gets confiscated by the FBI, you can get a new device and download your current phone minus a couple days, you know, and continue with your shit. But of course, Mike Lindell is a fucking idiot. He doesn't have a laptop.
Oh, no, I don't have a computer to put the thing on the phone. And I, you know, they told
and
me.
Don't do everything on your fucking phone, people.
They're weaponizing my phone. And they told me not to tell anybody. Here's an order. Don't tell anybody. Okay, I won't.
That's a lie.
Well, I am.
Yeah, they didn't tell him not to tell anybody. Because if they told him, if the FBI told Mike Lindell not to tell anybody, there's no way he would be saying it. There's no way he would tell. Because you know why? Because ultimately these guys are cowards.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So
all bullies are cowards. It's axiomatic. It is just what they are, which is why every time I come across one, I have to poke him in the eye just as hard as I can, because this is what I've been doing since sixth grade, because fucking bullies make everybody miserable, and they're all made of clay. They will all go down the first time anybody comes at them. Anyway, as you were.
If that's even, and why would you do that? I mean, it is so easy to just break your phone. I mean, lose it, leave it. I mean, come on, I don't bank on my phone, people.
Yeah.
It's just for taking pictures.
I just, I love the fact that Donald Trump fucked with the system for 4 years. He was a 28-foot-tall giant baby in a diaper stomping his way like Godzilla through Washington, D.C., and he did that for 4 years, and now he's shitting his pants because guess what? The system is pushing back and saying, you know what? No, we're a nation of laws. We're not a nation of Trump. No matter what you think, no matter what delusions you have. By the way, there was a new picture floating around of Trump in his office at Mar-a-Lago. I think it's at Mar-a-Lago. And one of the framed pictures on the wall is the Time magazine cover of, it's a painting of Trump looking in the mirror, and the reflection in the mirror is Trump as king. I don't know if you remember that particular Time magazine cover.
Vaguely.
Yeah, where it's just like a mirror image of Trump and he's dressed in like traditional kingly garb, like the crown and the scepter and all that shit. And he's got that framed on his wall in his office, which makes me think that he's really into being criticized and lampooned, or he doesn't understand.
No, he doesn't get it.
Okay.
He thinks it was a compliment.
Okay.
Like, seriously, because he's six. You know?
Right.
He doesn't see the irony at all. But while we're on the subject of kings, did you guys see Prince Charles just completely fuck up the whole fountain pen thing?
I heard that.
Go watch the video. He's totally spoiled and petulant. Hands it to his wife like she's his mommy. Like, you know, it's her job, and it's like running all over her gloves now. And I'm just like, and he's like, it always bloody happens. These stupid things. You know, I'm just like, dude, really? That is like your whole job. Signing shit and cutting ribbons.
Yeah.
Like, and so if you guys need someone to be like the minister of His Majesty's fancy pens, I will take that job for only £50,000 a year. Like, I will like take the pens out for a jog and make sure they're not leaky before you go to sign shit with them. And I will teach you, Charles, you fucking kindergartner, how to hold it so that it doesn't leak all over you. Because I'm pretty sure that's what the problem is. Because those have got to be like, I mean, who knows? Like, those are probably like Mont Blanc pens that cost thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
That someone will have like on commemorative, like these are the pens that King Charles III of England signed. You know, like, I mean, they're going to sit on somebody's shelf as trophies.
Yeah.
And so, like, I mean, they can't be like defective. Like, I'm sorry, the whole thing bothered me as a pen user. I will take the title Lord of Nibs, even if that's what it comes to.
Lord of Nibs. That's your new nickname.
Lord of Nibs.
David T. Rex Ferguson, Lord of Nibs. Outstanding.
You are, yeah. And from now on, I would like you both to address me as Lord.
Lord. By the way, just one last thing here before we wrap up. Mark Meadows has now agreed to comply with the Justice Department's subpoena, making him the highest-ranking Trump official known to have responded to a subpoena in the federal investigation. Are you sniffing? This is, by the way, very funny moment on the Stephanie Miller Show this morning. Stephanie asked Carl Frisch, can you smell the flip?
Yeah,
the flip. Yeah, and Carl said, well, yes, I'm quite familiar with the smell of flip because... It's only happened recently that I've become familiar with that smell. I thought that was a funny moment.
He's going to roll like an Easter egg in an Easter egg.
Well, Meadows turned over the same materials he provided to the House Select Committee investigating the Capitol attack, the insurrection. One source said, meeting the obligations of the Justice Department subpoena, which has not been previously reported. So that's obviously some good news there. And
he's going to roll like an Easter egg on the White House lawn. That's what I was fucking trying to say. I'm sorry.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. All right. Make a note of that on your scorecard. Thank you very much. You know what we didn't get to that I wanted to get to in the free portion of the show that we're just going to shove over into the shadow docket?
What's that?
Stochastic terrorist Matt Walsh thinks a black mermaid isn't scientifically possible.
Yeah,
hold your comments.
Mermaid.
I know. Hold your comments until the shadow docket portion of the show. We're going to play the audio of this motherfucker, Matt Walsh, talking about how.
And then I'm going to fucking skin him alive. So join us.
That's right. Stay tuned for the skinning. Still to come on our Patreon page, BobSuskaShow.com.
We're going to tie his scrawny legs into a knot and lock him into a crab trap and put him underwater.
We've got also some amazing poll results, mainly out of Pennsylvania and Georgia. Stand by for this. Yeah, everything is looking good. Although I do have to warn everybody, do not get happy. Thank you very much. Do not get happy. Plus, Russia is sending money to foreign parties and candidates and has been since 2014. We're going to dig into that. I've got a big question for Jody about her mom. That's coming up also on the shadow docket. You don't want to miss that too. Yes.
The answer is no, whatever the question
there's
is.
Okay. Well, there's a movement afoot, and I'm not going to say what the movement is yet, but there's a movement afoot. And we're going to talk about that briefly coming up here on the Shadow Nugget. Plus, There was a guy in a clown wig who said he wanted to kill all Democrats. We're going to talk about that, too. And a whole lot more. That's coming up on the Shadow Docket portion of the program. BobSeskaShow.com. Sign up for $5 a month at our Patreon page. And then once you do, go back to the Patreon page. Make sure you stay on the Patreon because that's where you listen to the Shadow Docket. Unless you incorporate the RSS feed into your iTunes or whatever, you can only listen to the bonus materials on our Patreon page. I'm just letting everyone know that that's how that all works. Okay, again, BobSeskaShow.com, $5 a month for the Shadow Docket. You can also sign up for $10 a month and get the Shadow Docket and the After Party, which we do on Fridays, me and Kimberly Johnson. All right, meantime, have a great weekend to everyone else. See ya.
Bye, folks.
Bye-bye.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
I am waking from this haze, trimmed of more forgiving days, where the burdens of my fear lifted away. I've been unseen and forlorn, shredded cloth that's been outworn, and my silence will no longer be the same. Bore the brunt and had too much in a life that's always bent before the fold.
Veteran of the big war, speaking on behalf of Guns for Everybody. Now, question. What was the first thing that the communists done when they took over Russia? Answer, gun control. And there's a lot of people in this country want to do the same thing to us here in a kind of conspiracy, see. You take your big international bankers, they want to, what do you call, masticate the people of this here nation like puppets on a wing. And then when they get that done, they turn us over to the communists.
Oh, Archie, I'm now, glad I'm they put you on a stool. You look taller sitting down.
Now, I want to talk about another thing that's on everybody's mind today, and that's your stick-ups and your skyjackers, which, if that was up to me, I could end the skyjackers tomorrow.
You could?
All you gotta do is arm all your passengers.
Another story for the day, contemporary news. Someone shot their gun again, someone got to choose. To take a life not of their own, take somebody's breath. A second for the bullet is a lifetime for the rest. But it's too soon to talk about tomorrow, and it's too soon to talk about today. When they all fall down for the one by one blooded guns, from all the damage that's been done, fuck your guns. You say to me, just let it go, it's a goddamn right. Bitch, you will relax. Be silent in the moment, son. The Lord will help you see me. Yeah, I tried to talk to Jesus, but he ain't listening. And it's too soon to talk about tomorrow. And it's too soon to talk about today. When they all fall down, folding one by one, but it runs. From all the damage that's been done, fuck your guns. Politicians take the cash, yet see their hands are tied. What mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers pray for?